This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This Saturday, the sturgeon spearing season opens in Wisconsin.
The extreme cold we've been having has created the thickest ice on Lake Winnebago in years. The weather's also created clear waters, which will help spears to spot the sturgeon.
Where does the tradition of sturgeon spearing come from? Why is it such a big deal here in Wisconsin? We've got an expert here to give us the story behind sturgeon spearing.
Kathy Klein joins us now. She's an educational specialist at the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute and the author of People of the Sturgeon, Wisconsin's Love Affair with an Ancient Fish. Kathy, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So let's start with the basics. Can you describe a sturgeon for us?
Oh, describe a sturgeon. Well, I think the first thing that people say when they see a sturgeon is that it just looks ancient or prehistoric. It's a very unique fish. It definitely stands out from the other fish that you'll see swimming around in the Great Lakes or in the Mississippi River or in Lake Winnebago.
So I'm assuming it's brown and large.
It's brown and large. As it gets older, it kind of turns a little more grayish in color. Sturgeon don't have any bones. They're not a modern fish. They've been around for over 150 million years.
Wow.
So they have like a notochord running through their body, much like a lamprey or an eel. And around their body for protection, they have five rows of kind of spiny cartilage called scutes. And when they're little, sturgeon, their scutes are very pointy for protection. But as they get older, the scutes kind of soften out. And I always like to think about it as, the sturgeon, when they're young, they need a lot of protection from predators. But as they get older, they don't need any protection because they don't have any predators. They're the biggest fish out there in the Great Lakes. They just need protection from us.
Well, let's take it to us now. Where does the tradition of sturgeon spearing come from here in the state?
Well, it goes back well before Europeans settled our state. It was the Native Americans who have always been spearing sturgeon. The earliest settlers, European settlers who came to Wisconsin, have all sorts of accounts of the Menominee Indians spearing sturgeon through the ice. It was one of the things that they often wrote about when they were taking notice of the Native Americans. So as soon as people moved into this area in the 1600s, they were seeing that Native Americans were very successful at spearing sturgeon through the ice, and so they took up the method themselves.
So it goes back, obviously, a long way. How did it get to be an ongoing tradition to present day 2014?
Well, when I did research for People of the Sturgeon, I did a lot of looking through all of the old fish laws, basically, for the state. So going back to when there was a fisheries commission first formed in 1874 to start managing fish populations in the state. And the state, you know, people started realizing that fish populations were starting to be depleted because there were so many people fishing. So they started enacting laws to try and help protect fish, including sturgeon. And the laws were kind of all over the place, and they changed from year to year. And one year, spears were outlawed, and then another year, ice shanties were outlawed. But there was a pattern that I noticed, and the pattern was that certain parts of the state seemed to keep getting exemptions from these laws, and they were areas along the Mississippi River, in Green Bay, and around Lake Winnebago. And these were all areas that were some of the earliest settled places in Wisconsin. And I kind of started to put together that the Europeans who settled in these areas were so used to being able to go spearing for their fish and lots of fishing that they just kept pressuring the legislature to let them continue this tradition.
Well, take us out on the ice of Lake Winnebago. What is it like? What do we actually do when we're spearing a sturgeon?
Well, today is the first day that it's legal to start cutting into the ice, and so it's a lot of work to go sturgeon spearing. The first thing you have to do is tow your shanty out on the ice, and then you have to find the perfect spot, of course, that can take a while. but then you have to cut in your hole, and the hole can't be any more than 48 square feet. It's usually kind of door-sized, imagine that. So this year especially, it's going to be a lot of work to cut in a sturgeon spearing hole because the ice is several feet thick. So a chainsaw is usually used with an extra long attachment on it. So you have to cut your hole and then sink the ice chunk underneath the ice, put your shanty on top and kind of pile ice or snow around your shanty. And spearing shanties are different from just regular ice fishing shanties because they have to be pitch dark inside. When you go into a spearing shanty, the only light that you're going to see is coming from actually the sturgeon spearing hole. So it's light that's filtered through the ice and coming up from the water.
Wow, that sounds like it's quite a, I don't know, mystic ambiance, this dark little hole on the ice. But I have to ask you, why do people have to spear the sturgeon? Isn't it, you know, easier just to fish for them, good old-fashioned fishing?
Well, you know, they're pretty large fish. There are fish out there in the Winnebago system that are well over 200 pounds, and oh. Those fish would be over 100 years old, too. Sturgeon are, they're very special fish, like I said. They can live to be a long they can live for quite a long time. They don't start spawning until they're in their mid-20s. So they're fish that needs to be protected, too. But we were just talking about, sorry, I just kind of got off off subject there. I'm sorry, what was your question?
Oh, just why
the spearing? Why spear, not hook?
And yeah. I think I got the answer. So my next question is, are they not very fast either if they're more susceptible to spearing? Or are they just so large that that makes them a good target?
They're so large, and they're also very curious fish. So people hang decoys down in the water to attract the sturgeon. They're bottom-dwelling fish, so they kind of like to hang out on the bottom of the water. So they put decoys in to attract them. So they're kind of, you know, if you can get their attention, they'll come up and check out your decoy, and then it's much easier to spear them.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, the people around Lake Winnebago, too, they're the ones who basically decided that they wanted to take sturgeon by spearing in Lake Winnebago. So in the 30s, when they reopened sturgeon spearing after putting a prohibition on any sturgeon fishing throughout the state, the people around Lake Winnebago put a lot of pressure on the legislature and said, we want to reopen sturgeon harvest on Lake Winnebago, and we want to only take them by spearing.
And you mentioned protecting the sturgeon and all the back and forth. It's legal, it's not legal, spears, no spears. What's the current state of efforts to keep sturgeon numbers up and make sure they get old enough to make more sturgeon?
The sturgeon population in Lake Winnebago is extremely healthy. The biologists at the DNR would say that they're probably at an all-time high, and the lake is probably at carrying capacity, so it probably can't really support too many more sturgeon. The sturgeon population in Lake Winnebago has been protected by the state since 1903, so there's been a lot of state effort that's gone into protecting these fish, and then there's been a lot of citizen involvement, too. There's a group called Sturgeon for Tomorrow that formed in the 1970s, made up of a lot of spearers who decided that they wanted to start taking measures to help protect sturgeon, too, so that they would be around for them to spear. So they put on a lot of fundraisers and support sturgeon research. And then they also help support the DNR runs a sturgeon patrol every spring. So you can volunteer to go up on the Wolf River where much of the spawning activity takes place. And you can volunteer for a 12-hour shift to stand on the riverbank and guard the sturgeon to make sure nobody poaches them.
Do the fishermen and fisherwomen generally eat the sturgeon that they spear?
Yes, they do. I didn't know what a sturgeon would taste like, and I thought, well, maybe, you know, everybody's just looking for a trophy fish, but they're delicious. So yes, they do eat them, and often they'll have a big party. If somebody in the family gets a sturgeon, they'll have a big party and cook up the sturgeon, and it's gone pretty fast.
What do you compare the taste to? If people eat a lot of different fish, are they kind of like what? I don't know.
It's a really rich tasting fish. I didn't think fishy at all. It's excellent smoked. It's probably the best smoked fish that I've ever tasted.
And what about the spear itself? Where does a person get a spear?
Yeah.
Sounds kind of specialized.
It is specialized. You can't go to just Cabela's and buy a sturgeon spear. They're handmade by people who live around the lake. So we did a section in the book on the art of sturgeon spearing. There are spear makers around the lake. Some go back three or four generations who have been making spears. They're usually about, to go and buy a sturgeon spear from somebody, usually around, I think, $150 to $200, depending on, you know, the quality of the spear.
And is there a competition to produce, to be the best spear maker around the lake?
That I don't know of. People have different, everybody has their own, you know, what's the best decoy, what's the best spear. There are two main types of spears. One is a fixed barb spear, so the tines on the spear, like a pitchfork, and actually a lot of them are made out of pitchforks. The tines have little barbs on them to hold into the fish once you spear it. Some of them have fixed barbs, and some of them have what's called flying barbs. So they would go in flush, and then once they're inside the fish, the little barbs come out so that you don't try and spear the sturgeon and then have the fish get off your spear.
Do people in other parts of the country spear sturgeon, or is it just a Wisconsin thing?
It's basically just a Wisconsin thing. There is another sturgeon spear season in Michigan on Black Lake, but they have such a small sturgeon population that the season is over after 5 sturgeon have been speared. So here in Wisconsin, there are various different caps for different age classes of sturgeon, but well over 1,000 will be speared here in Wisconsin.
And Kathy, are you going to go out on the ice this year either to spear yourself or to watch other people spear sturgeon?
I've never gotten a tag to spear a sturgeon. I have sat out in a shanty with people all morning to watch them wait for a sturgeon. And, you know, I thought it would be, what do you talk about with somebody who you don't really know for that long? But, wow, the time goes by really fast looking in that hole. And I will be heading up there this weekend. I'm going to go up tomorrow night to do a talk, and then I have some coworkers who have never seen the whole sturgeon culture before, so they're going to meet me up there, and we'll spend some time.
Kathy, thanks a lot for joining us, and stay warm out on the ice.
Okay, thanks a lot.
That's Kathy Klein, educational specialist at the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute. She's co-author of People of the Sturgeon.
If you have a question about Wisconsin that you'd like us to answer in our Curious Wisconsin segments, you can call and leave us a message at 1-855-683-5422. That's 855-683-5422. And you can also leave feedback or other segment suggestions there.